Hi, this is Doug Deacon. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, join the 100,000-plus fans in the official Cleveland Browns fan club, the Browns Backers Worldwide. It's free to join the biggest organized fan club in all sports. It includes team shop discounts, special event invitations, and exclusive VIP experiences. To join, visit brownsbackers.org. That's brownsbackers.org. Joined now by Mary Kay Cabot of cleveland.com and, of course, the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Mary Kay, obviously yesterday the team agrees, or it seems it's reported that they've agreed to terms with Dante Whitner, Carlos Dansby. Those are the first big two moves of the Mike Pettine, Ray Farmer administration. What do you think about the moves the Browns made?
Oh, you know what? I think if you're going to lose a DeQuell Jackson and you're going to lose a T.J. Ward, it's about the best you can do to come up with a Dante Whitner and a Carlos Dansby. I mean, if you look at what these guys have done in their career, the Browns have added toughness, they've added leadership, they've added playmaking ability, and in the case of Carlos Dansby, if the Browns get the player that he was last year, boy, what an impact, what a force he will be at that inside linebacker position.
Mary Kay, is it going kind of the way you thought it would in terms of just what we've seen so far is more methodical than splashy?
Yeah, you know what? Yes, I would say so. But I would actually kind of, I might put Dansby and Dante Whitner up more into the splashy category. I think those are two pretty big name guys. I actually think Dansby should have made the Pro Bowl last year when you look at his numbers. I mean, he broke up more passes than Patrick Peterson and Gerard Powers, their cornerbacks last year.
Yep.
So I would have to say that that's a pretty big signing. He's now made $36 million guaranteed since 2010. So big name guy. I think he flies under the radar a little bit. And then Dante Whitner, you know, anytime you're talking about a player of his caliber that went to Ohio State and is coming back home to Cleveland, you know, that to me does make an impact. So I think those are some pretty splashy signings. Now, we were expecting, of course, you know, a few other big names that, you know, that we were looking at in terms of, you know, Jairus Byrd and people like that. But I still think this was a pretty big first day.
It was a big first day. Again, a Pro Bowler and a guy who was second-team All-Pro, that being Dansby at linebacker. One of the other big names that's out there being linked to the Browns today is Ben Tate, the running back of formerly of the Houston Texans. When you hear the Adam Schefter report that he's here, and then, of course, the Browns spokespeople saying that they won't confirm that he is here, what do you make of that, and what do you think the next steps are with Ben Tate and this Browns team?
Well, if the Browns are not confirming that he's here, and they have set it as a policy that they will confirm visits when a guy is actually in town, that says to me that he's not in town. Now, does that mean he's not going to come into town? No, we don't know that for sure. But he is not believed to be here today. So I don't know exactly what's going to happen with that. I don't know if they're thinking about having him in or what the case may be. I honestly don't know how this one is going to play out. When I heard that, I thought that Adam Schefter had reported this morning, and everybody's been reporting it, that he said that Ben was in town today. Now, I have recently gotten a direct message from Adam Schefter saying that he didn't report that. But, you know, so still kind of looking into that. But whatever the case may be, I don't think this one is imminent.
Yeah, I'm looking at the same thing that you are, Mary Kay, as far as that report. And I think there were a lot of people who started running with what Adam seemed to indicate, that he was in the building, and that's what caught fire early on. Again, this is this crazy time of year. It's the time of year when agents also have a lot to say about what is dispersed, more so even than team officials do. Usually the team officials are the ones saying the least, and the agents are saying the most, and trying to drum up interest in a guy who, like other running backs, is sitting there probably going to be waiting his turn to get some of the bigger money, because the big money's going away fast, and it's clearly going to some defensive players mostly. Receivers are not seeing the same kind of dollars. And speaking of receiver dollars, the offer sheet that the Browns reportedly have put forth for Andrew Hawkins from the Bengals, interesting because it triples what he was getting reportedly in Cincinnati. Reports are now that the Bengals would match that. They're going to go ahead and match that. They've got 5 days to do so. But when you look at that, what does it say to you if they aren't able to, the Browns, acquire Hawkins? Do you see a next move possible? Because it seems to me like they've been pretty, you know, pretty careful in terms of the types of dollars they want to spend. Because it seems like after Hawkins, if you go into the open market, it's going to cost you a lot more to get a receiver.
Yeah, I think it will, but I think you still have to make some kind of a pitch for a Julian Edelman or an Emmanuel Sanders. You have to at least kick the tires, maybe bring them in for a look-see and give it a little bit of a chance. They need to add to the receiver pile on this team, and you don't really want to have to go in the draft being pressured to do that. You want to at least, I would think, try to find one decent receiver in free agency. So I would expect that we would hear something over the next couple of days about another receiver coming in here.
Would Emmanuel Sanders or a Julian Edelman probably be the guys you think the Browns would target in that case?
You know, I would think so. Those are the next two names that come to mind for me, but information is scarce. As of earlier this morning, they hadn't yet reached out to Emmanuel Sanders, but as we know, these things can change on a dime. So as the day goes along, we may hear more about that, but again, I hadn't heard anything about a visit within the last few hours.
Yeah, they're priding themselves, and Ray Farmer has indicated to us, priding themselves on keeping everybody guessing, and they'd rather have people guess than know, at least from the real story from their end, they being, you know, obviously Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine and so forth. Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com and a Plame dealer joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Mary Kay, as we look at where this team will go from here, we brought up the importance of receiver. We know the other needs. Offensive line is something that this team somehow needs to address. Sean Laval is gone. I didn't think he was going to be part of this program anyway, but that's an area. And then there is the Alex Mack story looming out there, and I want to hear your take because you had a story that had his agent indicating they were going to make the effort in terms of getting an offer from another team that the Browns would be unable to match. Where does that stand, and how do you see them going about doing that?
You know what? That is a great question. First of all, it seems like some of those opportunities are drying up a little bit. I mean, there was believed to perhaps be some interest on the part of the Ravens. Now they're tied up with Eugene Monroe. And then I believe that Tampa, I don't know if they've done it yet or not, but I think they were bringing in the Green Bay Packers center. So that opportunity might not really be there for Alex Mack. I was told this morning that no visits have been lined up as of yet, but to stay tuned on that. So I think as the day goes on, we might hear something about Alex Mack taking a visit somewhere. But he might not have the opportunity to get that offer that he thought he was going to have. And, you know, if it hasn't happened by now, you know, like you said, things start to dry up a little bit once you get past the first couple of days. So, you know, will he get it? Will he not? At this point, I can't really say.
Another Alex, you talked about the Browns potentially being interested in Alex Carrington, defensive tackle, pretty solid, can play DN in a 3-4, versatile along the line. Didn't play much for Mike Pettine last year in Buffalo, got hurt after the third game, but was very solid in 2012. Pro Football Focus's number 16th ranked defensive tackle that season. What are you hearing there?
Well, you know what? If he's healthy, I think he can be quite the diamond in the rough and someone that Mike Pettine could bring in here and trust him and know that he knows his defense, knows the scheme. And he was slated to have a pretty big role in Pettine's defense last year. In fact, he started the first three games of the season before tearing that quad. And I think he played something like 63% of the snaps in his final two games. In 2012, he really kind of started coming on strong, even though you know that defensive line is stocked. And he also blocked a franchise record 4 kicks, which is pretty amazing. So he's very athletic. He's a bigger guy. And, you know, I think he could really help Mike Pettine, you know, both on and off the field, just kind of getting his scheme rolling. However, you just have to wonder, you know, how healthy he is, and that's probably the key with him. You have to bring him in. You have to put him through the paces with your doctors and see how he's doing with that torn quad.
Another story that's been bandied about since yesterday and especially last night and into today is the Browns supposedly being part of teams, multiple teams, inquiring or pursuing Darrelle Revis, who by all accounts is likely to be waived by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The inquiries were made along the lines of trading for him before he became available to everybody. Still no change in that story that we know of right now, Mary Kay, but what are you hearing along those lines? And again, from a financial standpoint, if you're going to acquire him, and this is a guy looking, I'm sure, to have that top-level contract among corners or something very close to it in terms of structure, you're the Cleveland Browns, and you've got Joe Hayden that you're also going to be working on. It would seem to me prohibitive, cost prohibitive, to try to go down the Revis road.
I would think so. I would think that it would be. And, you know, I wouldn't, if I were the Browns, I wouldn't want to give up draft picks for him and then assume his bigger contract. And if he's not going to be making, you know, fair market value and you're going to be trying to finagle with the contract, you know, you're going to run into some problems there. He wants to be paid like the premier shutdown corner that he is. So you'd have to come up with a way, you know, to satisfy him in that way, and you'd have to give up picks. So I really wouldn't make a trade. And they can go after him in free agency, but if you're going to be competing with the likes of the New England Patriots, you're going to be looking at teams that can contend for a Super Bowl. And, you know, I would think that at this point in his career, that would be very, very important to a Darrell Revis. And you know the Patriots would come hard after what happened with Aqib Talib. So if it gets to that point and he gets released, I think the chances of him ending up here would diminish greatly.
One last question for you, Mary Kay. The cornerback position, we talked about Revis. We've seen some of the deals out there. It's still a position I would very much expect the Browns to address, and I don't think Isaiah Trufant counts as addressing that position to get somebody to start opposite Joe Hayden. Who are some of the candidates you think the Browns could be looking at, or if you've heard anything on that front?
You know what? I think it's almost to the point now. I mean, I think the cornerback market has really dried up considerably unless Mike still has some feeling for Antonio Cromartie and thinks that he still has enough left in the tank. He did not have a good year last year at all. But, you know, perhaps, you know, Mike might see that a little bit differently. You know, he played for him. He knows him very well. Maybe he's a guy that he thinks that he can kind of bring him up off the mat a little bit. I really don't know. But there's just really not that much out there, I don't think, in terms of cornerbacks anymore. I think they started out probably with their eye on Sam Shield, maybe Vontae Davis, you know, some of the guys that have gotten other opportunities. You know, right now, you know, beyond Revis, there's just not that much there.
Yeah, you're right about that. It seems like that's about the end of that position, and that's a big reason why I think you make the investment to make sure you keep Joe Hayden under contract, and you also keep your eye open perhaps for a corner in this draft. Mary Kay, thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
She is Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com and The Plain Dealer. We want to hear from you, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Watch your tweets at Browns_daily. We got Megan Rock tweeting for us today on this very snowy Wednesday, Football Wednesday. Get a shovel out Wednesday. Vic and Nathan, and I mean a shovel for snow, by the way, right here on CBD.